India promises its farmers hundreds of billions in investment and a sugar shortage in Ethiopia.
We are still struggling just to meet the local demand.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. India has 1.2 billion people, only 4% pay income tax, and 75% live in lush countryside that lacks good electricity, water, or toilets. So, what's in India's annual budget? The BBC's Samir Hashmi has been watching.
Over 700 million people depend on farming. And the farming sector in India has been really struggling. This budget, what really promises is more incentives for them to increase their income, at the same time also make their lives better in terms of improved infrastructure, which is better roads, houses and railway connectivity.
Now, the numbers in India are always staggering. The middle class alone is roughly equivalent to the entire population of the US. What's in this budget for them?
Most of them don't pay personal income tax, but the salaried class, which would be about 4 to 6%, does pay income tax. Now, these people don't get any tax benefits in terms of free education or even in terms of medical facilities. That's why they were expecting some sort of announcements, which would be in the form of tax breaks or more exemption in terms of getting benefits when it comes to investing in the stock markets. Because that is what the government did over the last couple of years. But this time around, there was a surprise in the form of more taxation on the stocks you invest in or even the mutual funds. So this has come as a real bummer for them.
The finance minister is already telling Parliament that there's going to be a budget shortfall.
This year, they had set a target of 3.2% of the GDP as the gap between revenues and expenditure, but they've already exceeded that. In 2019, India will go for elections. So usually the last budget is always a populist one where the government announces a lot of welfare schemes, which does impact its overall revenues. And that's exactly what's going to happen this year.
Samir Hashmi in Mumbai. Let's do the numbers. Higher oil prices helped Royal Dutch Shell's profits jump to a three-year high in the fourth quarter. It's not all good news, though. Shares are in the red this morning on lower refining profits and cash flow. Now, last year, the U.S. was the biggest donor to the UN agency that supports Palestinian refugees in four countries. But aid has been cut from $350 to just $60 million this year after President Trump warned Palestinians to, quote, sit down and negotiate peace. Chris Gunness is a spokesman for that agency, UNRWA.
Our humanitarian footprint is vast, and frankly, nothing less than the security of the Middle East is at stake. Every day, 500,000 children receive an education in UNRWA schools. We feed 1.7 million food insecure refugees. The risks of those programs being withdrawn are immense. They are potentially catastrophic.
Now, something like a dozen other countries have said, OK, we will try to make up for that. So does the problem still exist?
It most definitely does exist. Our shortfall just from the American contribution is $290 million. And although countries are coming forward, this is not new money. So effectively, all we're doing is postponing the day of reckoning.
Now, has UNRWA been given any reason for why this aid is being withheld?
From our point of view as a humanitarian organization, we're very clear. If what the Americans want is reform, if they want efficiencies, we've been doing that. We have been reforming our food program. We've done a huge reform of our health service. Our education department also has gone through a massive, massive program of reform for 22,000 staff. Is it in anyone's interest to have 500,000 children not in UN schools, but on the streets of the Middle East at a time when extremist groups are in full recruitment mode?
Chris Gunness there. Ethiopia is facing a sugar shortage. Bad weather is blamed and the government's about to start importing 100,000 tons. The BBC's Emmanuel Igunza reports from Addis Ababa.
Sugar has become a rare and expensive commodity here. For months now, the country has been facing a chronic scarcity that is affecting homes and businesses alike. In recent days, the situation has become so bad that the government has started a rationing program, limiting the amount each household can get every month. Nesreddin Chemo is a local shopkeeper in the capital who has a long queue outside his shop today.
The government allocates us sugar once a month, and we allow people to buy only 5 kilograms per household.
Ethiopia currently has 6 operational factories that in theory have the capacity to produce enough sugar for the domestic markets and even have surplus for export. But the production has been below par over the past year, forcing the government to issue an apology to the public. Bezabi Kebreyes is the deputy chief operating officer of the country's sugar corporation, which has faced scathing criticism over the shortage.
We are still struggling just to meet the local demand by the local production, as well as by importing about 200,000 metric ton sugar.
And there are some criticisms for the corporation that there was no proper planning, that you knew that there would be maintenance of some of the factories, but still you experienced the shortage. How do you respond to these criticisms?
The sugar shortage is not exclusive to Ethiopia. The Brazil market has also faced this problem. Indians also face this problem. This is mainly due to the El Nino and the climatic change occurred during the previous years.
The next few weeks will be crucial for the country as it awaits the arrival of much-needed sugar imports currently at the port of neighboring Djibouti. But any delays which have happened before could see public anger and bitterness grow further.
Emmanuel Igunza. Finally, cold pizza for breakfast. According to one dietitian, that cheesy protein boost might be more nutritious than a bowl of cereal. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.